Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 386. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program to receive one. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, and postage and handling is taken care of as well. We have another strong gospel message for you this evening, and we've got some music and some testimonies. Whether we get to the testimonies or not, the people that really are following my work throughout the entire world, which actually is the work of the Lord, you've heard so many of them anyway. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, anoint me. No one knows where they're going to, how much longer we're going to live, and there's only a certain amount of time to get this gospel out to the world. This is the most crucial thing that people could ever, ever, ever receive, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To have Christ, the resurrected and ascended Christ, who is now the Holy Spirit, to come down into our spirits and give us your power in us to rule the earth. This is the purpose that you came into this world. This is the purpose that you made man in your image and likeness, is that we would allow you to live in us. Adam failed, and now you sent Jesus into the world. He did not fail. And because he died for our sins, shed his blood for us, and then was buried and resurrected from the dead, then ascended into the kingdom of heaven, he has now become the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and now he can distribute himself by the Spirit into everyone who receives him, so that there's hundreds, thousands, millions of people with Christ in them. And we're infants in this world. When we become babes, we need the milk of the Word. But first of all, we have to surrender our entire life to the death. Father, let everyone receive this message this evening so that they can put an end to their old former lives, to have the life, your life, in Christ living in and through them, that their souls might be saved eternally, and that the church, Lord, that they get back to you, or that they become strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here is a song that I sang. It's a song that Gary Paxton wrote. There's two of them that I'm singing this evening. And this one is called, you know, We Don't Need Anything or Anybody in This World But Jesus. Jesus provides everything for us. And this one is, Let Him Be, Let Jesus Be All You Need for today and tomorrow and forever.
Let Him Be All You Need for tomorrow.
When life is a struggle and hurt gets you down, He won't be in your way. Needing a shoulder when your feet are low, let Him be all you need for tomorrow. Let Him be all you need to get by.
Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is reproving and rebuking the church. 1 and 2 Corinthians. Okay, so he's rebuking them for being carnal. They're Christians, but they're still carnal. Now, I'm speaking to, and the reason for that they're carnal, is because there's still fightings among themselves, and they're saying, I am a Paul, and I am Apollos, and they're speaking of carnal things. But I speak tonight, my message is to every believer who feels the need of power. And this is a time, right now, more than ever, to surrender your entire life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to surrender your life over to the Holy Spirit. The Lord will come down into the Spirit and dwell in you. Why is it that your whole heart can't do this? You must do that because there isn't really anything else that's that valuable in this world at all. Nothing is valuable in the world but this. Is not your whole heart ready to say that this is what you want? Well, and you want for today and tomorrow and day after tomorrow and for all time. We have a couple of testimonies here. And so, Michelle, tell them, go ahead and read them. Where's the first one from?
From Pasay City, Philippines.
Okay.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, greetings in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus. I am a new listener to your program here in the Philippines, aired every Sunday. This is going to be brief, but straight to the point. Thank you for your wonderful program, which is truly an inspiration and a guide in my daily struggle in life. Keep it up, and you will surely be an instrument in guiding so many people in the right path. God bless you, your staff, and respective families. Signed, Myrna from Pasay City, Philippines.
Okay, you have another one.
Yes, from Ghana, West Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, Calvary greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ for the good work you are all doing for the Lord. Man of God, I want to assure you that this year, 2007, is a year of repentance, as my faith has told me. I have received the literature, and I'm very happy about it. For your information, I have finished distributing the literature, and many people have repented, especially the people in the Polytechnic Institution, my schoolmates. For that reason, those that have repented need the Holy Bible to be studying for the growth of their faith. Therefore, send me some copies of the Bible, both in French and English. Fellow workers, I have formed some community who are ready to help me in doing the work. I need the Messiah book, 10 copies with more literature, and also taped messages also. Tony Lamo, we are ready to do the work as Jesus himself has instructed us to do. We need the materials. May God richly bless you. We are praying for you, as well as our prayer is that you will have broad branches in the world. You are really a world pastor, your fellow worker, Azima Wisdom, from Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord. So many millions of people are being saved through this ministry, and that's why the Roman Catholic government, which is the one world government is after, that have hired people to actually assassinate me, and in many cases to make it look like an accident. Even Buster, who's one of the people in this church, is being threatened now. He owns a furniture store in Texarkana, and the federal FBI came in and have threatening him and saying, you know, that it would be better for him. They took a lot of his property, a lot of his out of his store, and are threatening to take him to court on false charges of taking article, buying things in his store that are bootlegged. In other words, their products, like different kind of mix of tennis shoes. And he has receipts, and he bought them from people, and you can't tell the difference. They're actually not knockoffs, but they're real. And they're saying that, you know, we could go away, you know, if, and what is your position in the Tony Alamo Christian Church? And, you know, of course, this is a cross that we carry, and I'm just happy that I can go through just some of the persecution, just a little bit of it that Jesus went through. But it just goes to show that these people are so sneaky. They go behind your back, and then they come in and raid your place. They just walk walked run into his place with a bunch of FBI and all kinds of phonies from the Vatican and did all this. And his attorneys looked at the different tennis shoes and they said they couldn't, there's no difference. They're the actual original tennis shoe, and no one could tell the difference of them, even the prosecuting attorney. He said, honestly, I can't tell the difference. And so what they're after him for is because he goes to my church. And so pray for Buster, and pray for these people that are doing the bidding of Satan's church cult, really, and his government, and the medium. You know, God didn't ask me to go and preach and teach in my own strength. And he doesn't call you to go and preach and teach in your own strength either. Jesus meant for everyone, for you and for me, to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you. Whether I'm at home teaching my children or abroad, far on the mission field doing mission work, preaching, teaching, helping, whether I or have a little Sunday school or church that does services every day and twice on Sundays like I do, and the rest of my churches do, and twice on Sunday, as I said, we have a Sunday school class or some larger work. The one thing that I need is the power of the Holy Spirit. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, there's no possible way that I can pass any spiritual thing unto you. And if you're not filled with the, of course, with the Holy Spirit, you're not able to, you don't have anything of the spiritual realm to give to anybody else. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do any work for the Lord. So the bottom line is, by asking, that's how I got it. Are you prepared now to receive this form, the Spirit, to actually receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and to let Him fill you up with His power? The Lord loves to give the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the most important in the entire universe. There's nothing so much more as to honor His Son than to allow Him, the Lord Jesus, to live in you and live out His life in you. And especially when souls are, after you win them to the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because then He proves what He can do for them. And He can prove to the world by Him in them. Shall you not claim it? And if not, why not? Let me give you four words as steps that everyone who longs for this blessing say, first of all, I must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, say it out loud. Say it to God in the depth of your heart, in the depth of your spirit. God commands it. It's a commandment that you be filled with the Spirit. And if you're not, you're breaking the most important commandment, to be filled with the Spirit, because you can't do anything. I cannot live my life. I must live the life of the Lord. I must let Him live His life out me. I can't live that kind of a life without the Holy Spirit. Then if you're talking to the Lord, say unto Him, as the second step, and say it to yourself, Father, I may be filled. I can be filled. It is impossible. That promise is for me. It is impossible for me to not be filled with the Holy Spirit, because I can't make it in this world without it. I can't go on any further. No, you can't say that, can you? You must say that it is possible, that that promise is for you. And it's for me. I've received my baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, for everyone, settle that in your hearts, in your spirits, and let all doubt that you have in your heart be done away with. Let it vanish like a spirit, like a puff of smoke vanishes in the air. The Apostle Paul, once so full of pride and self-life, all the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit because they took hold of Jesus. You will be filled also, no matter what kind of a basket case you are. And with all your sinfulness, not cardinal sins, of course, but the sinfulness that you are not doing what he said. You're not filled with the Spirit. If you will but cling to the Lord Jesus, you will be filled. Then say, I will be filled, Lord. To get the pearl of great price, you must sell everything that you have. You must give up everything that you have in order to have the pearl of great price living in you and working in you. Are you not willing to have everything in the spiritual realm and leave behind the things in this world? I give up everything now, say to the Lord, if I may only have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I will receive your promise right now. I have it from you now, so I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Then comes the last step. I shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. My Lord and my God longs, he desires to give it to me. I shall have it. I will have it. I will not be denied. Never mind whether it comes as a flood or in deep silence, or whether it does not come right now, because God is preparing you for it. Right tonight or tomorrow, this afternoon, this morning. But say to the Lord, I am being filled. You know, I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 3 years. The apostles never had, or the disciples of the Lord never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 3 years either. I just remembered that the other night, that I too was baptized with the Holy Spirit after 3 years with the Lord. If you entrust yourself to Jesus, he cannot deny you. He will not disappoint you. He keeps all of his promises, providing you keep his commandments. His promises are true. His word is true. Their fulfillment is true. It is his very nature to be true. He is the truth. It is his work in heaven. It is his delight to give souls the Holy Spirit in full measure. Claim it right now. My God, it is so solemn. It is almost awful. It is too blessed and too true. God, will you not do it? Of course he will. Your faith needs to grow. Let me have it now, you should ask the Lord. In the name of Jesus, my trembling heart says with fear and trembling, I shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, oh, why are you going on and on with this? Because it's the most important thing in the world, that's why.
Amen.
Are living in an era of time where it's the Reader's Digest, everything is digested and bottom-lined and everything, but this isn't the way the Lord works. You have to contend. You must say to the Lord, I must have it. It's not a matter of will I have it, I must have it. Say to God, Father, I shall, for the name of my Savior, in Jesus, who saves me from all sin, and who fills me with the Holy Spirit, he's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, glory, glory to God, glory to his marvelous name. That's all you have to do is say that. Now I'm going to be teaching right now from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, regarding receiving the Holy Spirit. Now a lot of you people out there don't have the full Holy Spirit. You think that once the Lord breathed on you and you accepted Jesus into your heart, yes, you have Christ living in you, but you must surrender your entire being unto the Lord. The scripture says, quote, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That means unto spiritual matters. He's talking to the brethren in Corinth. But I'm talking to you carnal Christians or people because you're carnal. He's saying this to Christians. Even as unto babes in Christ. The Apostle Paul begins the chapter by telling the Corinthians that there are two different levels of Christian living in this particular regard. Some believers are carnal and some are spiritual. Now, some people believe the gospel, but they just stay carnal. That makes them doubly guilty before the Lord by the discriminant of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle saw that the Corinthians were in fact carnal. The Corinthian Christians were in fact absolutely true carnal. And he wanted to tell them so, and he did. So if you need the Word, and if you read the Word, you will find, of course you need the Word, but if you read it, you will find the Word, quote, carnal, unquote, four times in these four verses. The Apostle Paul felt that all his preaching would be useless if he talked about spiritual things to men who were unspiritual. You know, unspiritual people are not going to receive the gospel. They were believers, I mean, real Christians, babes in Christ, but there was one deadly fault with them. They were carnal. They weren't committing adultery or fornication or being homosexuals or liars or thieves or anything like this, these cardinal sins, but they were babes that never grew. The Apostle Paul was saying, I cannot teach you spiritual truths about the spiritual realm or the spiritual life of the spiritual world. You cannot receive it. It was not because they were stupid or anything like that. They were very clever, and they were full of knowledge, but unable to understand spiritual teaching. Therefore, this simple lesson, all the trouble of believers who sometimes receive a blessing and lose it again, is because they are carnal. If you want to keep the blessing, you must become spiritual. In other words, you must grow. You must choose which level of Christianity that you desire, or which level of Christian life that you desire. The carnal life you have to choose, or the spiritual life you have to choose. Choose the spiritual, and God will be delighted to give it to you. He'll give you anything that you want if it's spiritual. He will not give you anything carnal. To understand this teaching, you must begin by trying to thoroughly explain what the carnal state is. I'm going to point it out in four different sections here, the characteristics of it, of the carnal state. Number one, the thing is that the carnal state is a state of protracted infancy, where you just stay, you are prolonged as an infant. A long time has passed since you were converted. By this time, you should be a young man in the Lord, or a very strong older man in the Lord, but you are still a babe in Christ, Paul said. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. You weren't able to receive it. You know how a baby is, and what a beautiful thing the life of a little baby is to the parent, and to others as well. I've seen very cute little babies, and I'm sure you have as well. Is there anything more beautiful or delightful than a little baby? They even go up to 6 months and a year old. A little baby child with its pink little cheeks, and the way they laugh and smile, and their little legs and kick their little feet, and they move their little fingers. How beautiful this is. But suppose you see the same child 6 months later, and he or she wants doesn't grow a bit bigger. It didn't grow at all. Okay, if you were the parent of such a child as this, you would no doubt say, we are afraid there is something wrong with this baby of ours, for sure. The child isn't growing. If after the 3 years or 4 years you see that the baby was still no bigger, what you would do is you would find that the parents would be very miserable and sad. They would complain. They would tell the doctor about it. And the doctor would say, he or she, this little girl or boy has a terrible growth problem. There's something wrong, a disease, and it cannot grow. This child cannot grow. The doctor will then say that it's amazing that he or she is still alive. 10 years later, there is still no growth. This is a little baby. There's something retarded here. There's something wrong with this baby. A 10-year-old baby that's still kicking and laughing and giggling and wiggling its fingers, kicking its feet. You see that a baby, if it's the proper time, is the most beautiful thing in the world. But babyhood continued too long. It's a burden and a sorrow, a sign of some kind of dreaded disease or some kind of growth disorder. That was the state of many of the Christian believers. They were babes. They could not grow, though. They continued as babies. It's the same thing in every church. Now what are the identifiable marks of a baby? A baby cannot help themselves, and they cannot help others. That is the life of many Christians. They can't help themselves, and they can't help anyone else. They make their ministers into spiritual nurses. They want to make their ministers into a pope-like figure. It is a serious matter when spiritual babies, and I'm not bragging about the Pope, he's part of the Antichrist. Of course, the Antichrist cult, government, and medium. When spiritual babies keep their ministers so busy, continuously occupied in nursing and feeding them, they don't pray for others. They call the minister to pray for them. They just feel that they can't reach the Lord. They haven't grown. They never help themselves or others. They don't know how to feed on Christ's word. The minister must feed them, the pastor, the teacher, the preacher. They do not know what contact with God is. The pastor, the minister, the preacher, the teacher must pray for them because they don't pray. They don't. They don't know what it is to live as those who have God to help them. They always want to be nourished, always. Is that the reason why you go to church? To get nourished? To get your nursing done to you? Is that what it is? A nurse to give you spiritual milk or try to give you meat, but you just won't receive it? I praise and thank the Lord for the preaching of the gospel and for the fellowship of believers. I thank God for the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors. You know what a baby does. He always occupies somebody. He always keeps them busy. You cannot leave a baby alone because a baby Christian will go off into the sunset some way. Likewise, so there's many spiritual infants to whom ministers, pastors, preachers, and teachers are always going to, and who always want some help. They wear out the saints, really, which I'm not at all refusing to do. I'm not refusing to do that, but people should learn, Christians should learn how to pray for other people. This is a Christian's job. All the disciples did it. Instead of allowing themselves to be trained up in the way that they should go to know God and be strong, oh my Lord and my God, it is a protraction, a protracted infancy. They remain in this position. Babies. They cannot help themselves. Therefore, they cannot help others. Can a baby help you? No. And it cannot help itself. Carnal Christians. Isn't that exactly what you read in Hebrews also, chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 3? In these verses, we find the very same condition. Those who have been so long converted and should have been teachers, preachers, evangelists, pastors, and helpers, they need themselves to be taught the first principle of the Lord, of Christianity. These are the people who always want to be helped instead of being a help to others. Therefore, they're carnal. For a little child, a spiritual baby of 3 months old is one thing. To be carnal, of course, they are. You know, all babies are carnal. They don't know how to have victory over sin. But the Apostle Paul said it's not a thing to be all wondered about. Kids are carnal. If a little kid is not spiritual, you don't have to wonder about that. Of course they are carnal. You know, they're just a baby. But when a man, or a full-grown woman, continues year after year, in the same state of always being defeated by sin, there's something radically wrong with them. Nothing can keep a child in protracted infancy except disease or some kind of growth disorder. And if we have to say continually, I am not spiritual, I am not spiritual, I'm not spiritual, I was out of the spirit, then why don't you say to yourself, oh God, I am carnal, I am in a diseased state of disorder, a disorderly state, a disorder, something disordered, and I want to be helped out of it. Help me. So there's number two. The distinction of the carnal state is that sin and failure to prove master of yourself. Sin has the upper hand on you. What proof does the Apostle Paul give that those people were carnal? He first changes them by trying to change them from being carnal to spiritual. So he accuses them, and then he asks a question of them. For whereas there is among you envy, this is not adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lying, stealing, but there is among you envy. How come there's envy among you? And strife. These are carnal signs. And divisions. This was the carnality that they had. Are you not carnal? And do you not walk as men? For while one side I am of Paul, one of you saith, I am of Paul, and the other I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? That's the kind of carnality that Paul's talking about. Not fornication, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, lying, coveting. Paul, in effect, asks, isn't it obvious you act like other men, unsaved men, carnal men? You are not acting like heavenly, renowned men. Men that were before you, like Jesus and the first apostles, who lived in the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. You know that God is love, that love is the great commandment. And love is the keeping of God's commandments. Okay, so that, the cross of Christ, is nothing more but the evidence of God's love, and that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. The keeping of God's commandments. That cannot be done, because the commandments are spiritual, and you cannot keep His commandments unless you are spiritual. The entirety of John's gospel means love, but when men give way to their pride and their unwarranted temper, it's one thing to be angry at people for nothing, but it's another thing, it's all right to be angry at the devil that is using people, and rebuke and reprove the people when they're carnal. And because right here is where Paul was rebuking them. And the way that they envy one another, and division, and how they write reports on people, false reports. If you write a false report on me, or if you rebuke my son, who is not doing anything wrong, I'm going to bring a, if you say I'm going to bring a lying report on him, I'm going to pick on him, or you're saying something like that. When they hear people saying sharp things for no reason at all to children that are growing up in the church and other people, when a man cannot open his heart to a brother who has done him wrong, even if people do us wrong, we have to open our heart to him in love, in the Spirit, and forgive him. You can't do that, really, if you're not born of the Spirit. And when a woman who is a dwarfed human spiritually can speak about her neighbor with contempt, as such as what miserable creep or creature she is, or say to another, oh, how I dislike, how I despise, I hate that woman. All these are the works of the carnal spirit. Every touch of the unlovingness is in people is nothing but the flesh. The word carnal is a form of the Latin word for flesh. And all unlovingness is nothing but the fruit of the work of the flesh. The flesh, where the devil is selfish and proud and unloving. Therefore, every sin against love is nothing but a proof that the man or woman is carnal. You may say, I have tried to conquer it, but I cannot. Well, that is what I'm talking to you about. I'm trying to impress upon you. You can't bear spiritual fruit when you are in the carnal state. What? You must have the Holy Spirit in order to love as the Lord loves. Because it's the Lord in you that would be loving, not you. You must put an end to your old life. Then the spiritual will conquer the conquer you, and you'll become spiritual. Then the carnal will conquer if you're not spiritual. And you'll become spiritual when the Lord will give you the Spirit to walk in. And he's talking about walking in love, which is the keeping of God's commandments again. This is true not only of the sins against love, but for all other sins. Take worldliness, which someone says has honey-coated the church. People are honey-coating the Word of God, and it's not the real Word of God any longer. Take the love of money or the pursuit of business. Some people sacrifice everything for these carnal things, for increase of riches that take so much of our lives in seeking after luxury and pleasure and position and fine cuisine. What is it all about anyway? It's all about the flesh. It gratifies the flesh. It is exactly what the world thinks that is desirable and delightful, and they delight in it. If you love the world, if you like the world, if you love it, it is proof that the spirit of the world, which is in the flesh, is in you. You're a babe, and you continue, and you won't even be a babe. Some of you have fallen away. The carnal state is proven by the power of sin. Some of you that were babes have gone so far into the world that you've fallen away from the Lord. Someone asked me recently, how about the lack of love of praying? If you don't love to pray, is that carnal? This person wanted to know how a loving fellowship with God could be attained. I told him, look, brother, it is absolutely impossible until you discover that it must come outside of the carnal state. The flesh cannot delight in God. You cannot love God in the flesh. There isn't a person that is of the flesh that loves to pray. So that is your difficulty, sir. It is meaningless to say or write down a resolution in your journey in this world. I will pray more. I will, I promise. You cannot force it. But let the axe come to the root of the tree. Cut down the carnal tree, your former life. Cut down the carnal mind, your formal way of thinking, your former way of thinking, the carnal soul, the way that you were. How can you cut it down? You cannot cut it down. But let the Holy Spirit come with the commandment of sin, against sin, and the cross of Jesus, and give the flesh over to death, and the Spirit of God will take over. The Spirit of God will take care of everything for you. He'll come in if you really hunger and thirst to have power and dominion over these things. Then you'll learn to pray, and you'll learn to love God and love your neighbor and prefer your neighbor, yourself, over your neighbor. Oh, no, not yourself over your neighbor, but you'll prefer your neighbor over yourself. Amen?
Amen.
That's the right way. And you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You'll be controlled by humility and spiritual mindedness. The carnal state is the root of every sin. Now here's another point that I'd like to make. It's the third point here. If you want to know this carnal state thoroughly, we must take very special notice that the carnal state can coexist with great spiritual gifts. It says so in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. How is it that, remember, there is a great difference between spiritual gifts and spiritual power? And that is what many people, Christians, don't understand. Among the Corinthians, for instance, there were many wonderful spiritual gifts. In the first chapter, the Apostle Paul states, I thank my God, then it goes, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. That was something wonderful to praise God for. And in the second epistle of the Corinthians, he stated, in effect, you do not come behind in any gift. You don't come behind anybody in any gift. See that you have the gift of liberality also. And in the 12th chapter, how he speaks about the gifts of the prophecy and of faith that could remove mountains, and knowledge as things they were pressing in on. But he tells them that these things will not profit them unless they have love. In other words, charity. Charity is love. They delighted in the gifts that they had that God had given them, and did not concern themselves with the power of God over their flesh, their carnality, But Paul shows them a more excellent way to learn to love and to be humble. Love is the greatest thing of all, for love is the God-like above everything else. If you're God-like, that's above everything else that is in the Scriptures. Here on earth, we have faith. Faith is the major thing here on earth, because faith encompasses love. Faith, all things in this world we get by faith. So faith encompasses love. I mean, love is the keeping of God's commandments as well. We have to have faith to have love. But love is more powerful, because love continues on even in heaven for eternity. We don't need faith or hope in heaven, but faith is the is deemed by the Apostle Paul to be the number one thing here on earth, because if you have faith in the Scriptures, you're going to love, and you're going to be spiritual, not carnal. This is a very serious reminder that a man may be gifted with prophecy, that a man may be faithful and successful as a worker in some particular sphere among the poor and needy, as well as and yet by the sharpness of his own judgment, not the Lord's judgment, and the pride that comes into humans when they have gifts. God gives them gifts. It isn't anything they got on their own. And by other things, he may give proof that while his spiritual gifts are wonderful, his spiritual powers are too often, he doesn't have them at all. They're absent. He's still a babe, carnal. Take care that Satan does not deceive you with the thought, quote, "But I work for God, and God blesses me, and others look up to me, and I am the means of helping others." Beloved believer, any person who is exercising spiritual gifts, even the most earnest and successful man, must be brought to his knees before God with the thought that, am I even, after all that God's Spirit works in me, as a matter of fact and as a matter of different gifts, am I possibly giving way to the flesh in lack of humility or love or purity or holiness? That's a good question to end this program with. I'm going to continue on tomorrow. But my time is up, and so right now, we need to have the power of God in us. I have it in me, and you. The Lord will give that power into you, the life of Christ. And then as you grow into young men and women, the Lord will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So right now, let's get the first things first. Let's ask Jesus to enter into our hearts and into our souls and be humble about it. Ask him for salvation. My Lord and my God, say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. And I believe that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And now here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program, number 386. It's free of charge. Please specify whether you like a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. We need to hold on to the words of Jesus. And here I am with another Gary Paxton song singing, I'm Holding On.
I'm holding on. If you'll just hold.